Now it is time. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So let's open ourselves again to that light and to that love in wonder and in worship.
Please stand as you're able. And would you pray with me? Holy One, you are Lord of history and Lord of this hour, and we lift our hearts to you. You are present in every place and every moment, and we're grateful that you are present right here, right now. We've come to this place this morning after days of being consumed by our work, by our worries, by our longing for things to change in our broken world. And once again, we pray that you return our hearts to you so that we may be consumed by your light and by your love, to leave here filled with gratitude and the hope that you call us to. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
Thank you.
are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
My name is Sarah Kruska. I am the Operations Director at the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County, which most people in the community know us as the Delana Center. I am a boss, a mother of one, a wife, a daughter, a social worker of 7 years, and an Eastern Michigan graduate. And just like that is a piece of my story, and they're little parts of who I am, homelessness is a little part of who each of our clients are that come to the shelter. Today, during second hour, I will be sharing about our programs that we offer, about a day in the life of what our clients would experience, and then about the beautiful partnership that we have with First Baptist, with our rotating shelter, and with the Daytime Warming Center. So I thank you for inviting me here today to speak with you and to share as we all continue to keep the unity and community in Washtenaw County.
Words from the prophet Isaiah, addressed to people who have long been held in captivity. These words: do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? God of epiphanies and transformations and new beginnings, we praise you for light, for life, for love. We praise you for joy, for goodness, and for the grace that releases us from the failures of yesterday and lifts us towards the hope of today. It is in that hope that we bring you our prayers this morning. We pray for a world torn up by violence and fear and hatred. We pray for those grieving loved ones so senselessly lost in the downing of the Ukrainian jetliner. We pray for wisdom for our world leaders and for those who try to lead or are called leaders in the face of the U.S.-Iran crisis. We pray for all those in both Iran and the U.S. who have already been impacted by the decisions of those in charge. We pray for Puerto Rico in the wake of the recent earthquakes, for disaster upon disaster, and for those there grappling with the trauma of repeated disasters. We pray for your close comfort for them and for the compassion and support and solidarity of the rest of us. We pray for all who suffer sickness or sorrow. We pray for those in need of food or shelter or kindness. We pray for the forgotten, for the lonely, for the depressed. We pray for those who spend their days taking care of others. We pray for your church everywhere, that we would be faithful, compassionate, and courageous. And we pray for ourselves, for our own hearts torn up with fear and anger. We pray that we might see with your eyes of love, and that secure in our own worth and convinced of the worth of others, we would be emboldened to take the risks that love invites of us. We pray special prayers now for people we know who are in particular need. We pray for Joe Mortensen, Eva Kelly, Phil White, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Pat Hubel, Bruce and Vicki Williams, Marilyn Marsh, Juanita Dieterle, Iris Martin, Robert L., Nick Dodson, for Catherine, Kathy Baptist, Amy B., Jim, Nancy, Jenny, Ella, Kate, Joe, Isidore and the King family, for Pierre, Gia, Heather, and again for Puerto Rico and for Puerto Ricans on the island and in the diaspora. We also offer you our silent prayers in hope and trust. Loving God, light of the world, shine in our lives, we pray. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he tells us of not yet having it all together, like us, but encouraging us to keep our eyes on the prize. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. I invite our children to come forward and join Zan to see what she has for us this morning.
Some help this morning for somebody to read two verses from the Bible. Can somebody do that for me? Samuel, would you come up here? Come, you can sit right here by me. And you're going to read right here. This is from Matthew chapter 22, 37 and 38 and 39.
He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself."
Thank you. You should love God and love your neighbor. The two most important commandments. Who's our neighbor? We talk about this. What's a neighbor, Lizzie? Everybody. Everybody that's not you is your neighbor. Everybody. Yeah. So you're right, Lizzie. Love God and love everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself. We've been thinking about this and hearing about it, and we heard from Miss Sarah today talking about the Delana Center, which is a place for people to stay at over the nighttime when they don't have a place to live or a place to stay. And we have been thinking about ways we can be a part of loving our neighbors. And to love our neighbors, we also have to know our neighbors. And that's why I'm really grateful that Miss Sarah is here today, because she talked a little bit about it, and she's going to talk more later about how to know our neighbors well. What are the hard things that people are challenged with when they don't have a place to stay at the nighttime or during the daytime? Both. And so our church, all of us, the kids, the teenagers, the adults, we're all going to work together to know our neighbors and to love our neighbors well. And we have learned in the knowing that we have some ways we can make a difference. One is by asking questions. You've heard me say this before. To ask the questions, why are people homeless? Why don't people have a place to stay? And there are lots of answers to that question. But we keep asking that question. Is it about the houses and the apartments we have and how much they cost? Is it about how much money people can make at the jobs they're working? There are all kinds of questions. We gotta pay attention to those questions. And then we can also figure out ways to help right away. And one thing we're gonna do this month in January is to collect things. And we have learned that often something that people need but we don't have collections for very often is underwear. And so we have a goal. There's a bulletin board outside. You'll see it. We're gonna collect try to collect 200 pairs of underwear for men and 100 pairs for women. So I have my basket here. And we have a bigger basket out in the hallway. So, to love our neighbors, it helps to really know them, to know our neighbors, to know what they need. And this month, we're going to collect underwear. Would you help us meet our goal? How many pairs of men's underwear are we looking for? 200. And how many of women's? 100. And let me tell you, you can check in with your grown-ups after Sunday school, after choir. You can check in because there's a sign-up sheet, and you can sign up to say how much you're going to bring, okay? So that we have that goal. You can do that electronically. Your parents could do that electronically, or you could do it here in person. Let's take that work seriously together, shall we? Let's do that. Can you put your hands out like you're giving a gift? Like you have something? We have something to give. Can you put your hands forward like that while we pray together? Generous God, thank you for your love for us and for all of our neighbors. Help us to know and to love our neighbors well. Give us grateful and generous hearts. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the faltering words that follow be instruments of your living Spirit's powerful word to us. And may we listen to our depths, to the depth of your word now for our living. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everybody has a history, and everybody's history is different. Your history is the people you've known and the places you've known. It's your social location and your generation. It's who your parents were and your friends, your community, your religion, your resources. Your history is the choices you've made and the choices others have made and the choices society has made that include you and how your personality responded, reacted, all that has happened to you, all that hasn't happened for you, all that has shaped you, your history. Imagine it as a landscape that you've been walking through all your life. It lies behind you, all the systems and circumstances that were the context, and all those encounters, events, relationships, accidents, choices, and see what a crazy mix it has been of good and not so good. For most of us, it can be said, they were wonderful people. Love and encouragement. Maybe resources enough, opportunities, achievements, good times. But what else? Some trauma. Betrayals of love, prejudice, mistakes, failures, bad choices, broken relationships, too many deaths. Some of it like a knife has wounded us. Some of it like poison has sickened us. Some of it was like an endless undercurrent of accusation that we cannot seem to stop hearing. Some of it was like laying on of a heavy burden, somebody saying, here, carry this for the rest of your life. Now, if that description makes it sound like the bad stuff weighs more than the good stuff, it doesn't. In the case of most of us, not all, but most, sweet, strong gifts from the past are still flowing to us like nourishing waters. Our sense of personhood, our abilities, our values, our capacities to love and to accept love, however imperfect it may be, all of that still feeds us for good. The reason I stress the more hurtful parts of our history is that these are what so easily hinder us. They may have left us with shame, guilt, anxieties, resentments, mistrust, a broken sense of who we are, to the point that we don't seem able to flourish. We don't seem able to grow. If you were here last Sunday, you know that the sermons in these early weeks of this new year are about making a fresh start. Returning to the basics of faith and life that will move us forward spiritually, relationally, personally, socially. Our word is reboot. Language in computer usage, now also cultural language for making a fresh start. But how on earth do we make a fresh start, and what possible forward movement can there be if we're all tangled up still by stuff in our past that has no business holding us back, but somehow still does? The poet Robert Bly said that all of us have a little anxiety bag on our belts when we're very young. And every time something comes along that threatens us, we slip it into our little anxiety bag. He said that for most of us, by the time we're 50, that bag is 100 yards long, dragging along behind us, getting stuck in elevator doors. Well, what do we do about that? All of that anxiety, guilt, shame, disappointment, rage, mistrust, self-doubt, unresolved grief. What do we do? Well, you know the standard advice. Let it go. Let it go. I feel a song coming on. And I am so tempted. I think that in the end, that might be fairly good advice, but the truth is, how is it supposed to happen? All the damage from the past, it's not like I'm holding it and can drop it. How do you let go of a wound? How do you let go of a huge burden lashed to your back with 100 ropes? How do you let go of somebody's death or of consequences from the past that just keep unfolding and unfolding? A starting point. Don't pretend it isn't there. Acknowledge that it's real and place it in the light and tell the truth of it to yourself, to a friend, to a professional, to God. I am wounded. Here is the wrong that others did. Here is the wrong that I did. Here's what I should have done and didn't. Here is my embarrassment, my wound, my broken heart. My regret, my anxiety, my anger, my terror, my resentment, all of it placed in the light. That's a first step. Only a first step, but not a bad one. In the Bible, it's done over and over again, especially in the book of Psalms. It's only a beginning, but how can we get free if we have not faced what we need to be free from? Naming it for what it is, and wanting and seeking help. In the seeking of it, we should know that our healing will not be instant. Healing is like growing. You don't see it happen while it's happening. A wound is mended in the passage of time. Do you know the book, A Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan's great 17th century allegory. The main character, whose name is Christian, it's not a subtle allegory, has a very heavy burden strapped to his back. He wants it gone and he can't get out of it. He asks others to help him and they can't get it off. He goes to someone, a wonderful person who is a teacher and teaches him of faith and of grace, and he believes and accepts. Only the burden doesn't come off. So he must continue on. He keeps on his journey, and after a time, the straps of that burden break off of their own accord. And the burden rolls into an open tomb. And there is a cross standing nearby. In the fullness of its time, the burden fell away. Just as in the fullness of its time, God's love in Christ was given to the world, was given to us. If burdens fall away, it will be in their time, in God's time. Till then, staying on the journey is the thing. C.S. Lewis was deeply, deeply hurt by someone. And he knew that for his own sake, he needed to get past his brokenness and his resentment. And so he decided that he would begin praying that he could forgive that man completely and utterly. He prayed this every night and at length reported that one night he rose from his prayers after 17 years. Free. Realizing that he had finally, fully, deeply, perfectly released the hurt. There are wounds we must seek the healing of, knowing that the deepest possible healing will take some long living toward it. Here's the thing that faith needs to know. That whatever wound we are carrying and seeking to be released of, the love of God, though we cannot see it, is already at work to make things new. You heard the reading from the prophet through whom God spoke. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Don't remember the former things. For I am doing a new thing, and I am doing it now. Do you see what a gift is in that word? Do you see how I've mixed up my pages? God gives us a better gift than the instruction, forget about the past. God says you can forget the past because you can notice I am doing a new thing now. The great new calling that divine love is inviting you to is now. There are new doors opening now. New opportunities, new community, new resolve. And so new reasons to release the pain of our past, release. Now, does that take us back to let it go? Let it go. The coal never bothered me anyway. In a way, yes, but I think the much better word is release. For one thing, in the Bible, in both Old Testament and New, the word rendered into English as forgive in the original languages means release. To forgive is not to say it's okay. To forgive is to release, which means in part to know this is not mine to keep carrying, not as I have been. It means also to have some compassion for the mistakes and sins of those who did harm, and some compassion for the mistakes and sins we committed that did harm. Most of all, it means to release not into nothing, but to release into the hands of God. The hands in which our sins are turned into nothing, nothing of importance anymore. The hands of God who holds all the broken systems of the world and all the broken people, past and present. The hands of God who can turn our wounds, our mistakes, into powerful instruments of grace for others, powerful instruments of grace for ourselves. the hands of God that one day will wipe away every tear from every face, and more will be mended than we can know. The truth is, we are going to go on bearing some of what our God-forgiven regrets have done. We forgive, and we learn to accept them, but no more living under the tyranny of them. And because God's grace is on them, we even learn to have love for them, especially as they have opened us to a better way. And we live in the confidence that the love of God is not finished with us, not at all. With confidence, we know our past and all that happened and all that didn't does not define us. Not as once it did. The grace of God over all of it, over us, is what defines us now. And the choices we are free to make today, the choices we are free to make tomorrow, those are the choices that matter. And more will be mended than we know. There is much in our hands and so much more in our hearts to offer for love's purposes in us and in the world. Let us make such offerings now. God, for every mercy of yours on our lives and on your world, we give you thanks. For every mercy set before us to move into fresh living, we give you thanks. For every mercy that is ours to show to each other and to your world, let it be. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Instruments of that grace, we are instruments of new beginnings for and with each other. Let's give signs of that now as we extend to each other the best of gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Back in the early 90s, I was reading the church newsletter for a Baptist church in Georgia where some of my extended family were members. It was around this time of year, and the newsletter front page from the pastor was reflecting on the previous year in celebration that they had paid off some recent debt. And he said, that we achieved our goal. Our theme for the year was debt-free in 93. He went on to say they had a big building project, and their theme for the coming year was borrow more in 94. And he was not joking. We are blessed here at First Baptist Church by a legacy of fiscal responsibility. We have not had campaigns to become debt-free because we don't have debt, and we would never have a campaign that is resting on borrowing more or any for the future. We try to strike a good balance between being responsible and wise and taking the risks that ministry requires of us. So we dream big and set ambitious goals and also make budget plans that rest on what we know rather than magic numbers. We had this year a fantastic pledge campaign and a fantastic pledge response, and we are so grateful for the many people who are investing in this church in so many ways, which is about so much more than money. But money is also a part of life, real life, spiritual life, faith life. We discovered after or as the pledge campaign was wrapping up that there were some funds that we had expected and anticipated to be available for 2020 that were, in fact, not going to be available. One of the wonderful parts of our being a debt-free community is that we have these gifts from people given over the years that are endowment funds and other special funds. Some are memorial funds, some are targeted funds. And certain ones of those we use for special targeted needs in our budget. And three funds we realized late in the year were either entirely unavailable, as we had not anticipated that, or were available to a lesser degree than we had anticipated because of the guidelines of those funds. We also discovered that some of our anticipated other donations were not going to be available this year. So there's been a gap between our anticipated ministry needs and our anticipated income, and we don't vote on our budget for two more weeks. That's the annual financial meeting. So we could change our budget to match what we know will be coming in. But we don't want to do that if we can avoid it, because our proposed budgeted expenditures reflect the hopes and dreams of this congregation for actual ministry and impact in this church family, in this community, and in the world in the coming year. So we have a last opportunity to mind the gap, which was our pledge campaign theme, and to cover that gap. And if you receive our newsletter via email, then you would have received late in the week an e-connection that has a letter from Paul and me that outlines some of the dreams that we're hoping to fund this year, which includes things like increasing our support for our mission partner in Nicaragua, Amos, as they create and fund a new staff position to be filled by our own Marissa Alanese, who starts work tomorrow. An increase in funding our youth ministry. The size of our youth group has doubled in the last 2 years, more than doubled. An increase in other mission support for places like Hope Clinic in Ypsilanti. Increased funding for care of our building, which is one of our very best mission partners as we do ministry here in downtown Ann Arbor. We also want to increase our support for our paid section leaders in our phenomenal choir, and also a modest pay increase for our staff team. We have an unprecedented opportunity in the next few days for anyone who makes a new pledge or chooses to increase a pledge that they've already made. We have an anonymous donor who will match those pledges. So whatever you pledge or increase is actually going to be double that. We've already heard from several people in response to the e-connection we sent out, and that's really exciting. Over the weekend, Paul and I had a conversation, and we also decided to increase our pledge for this match opportunity. We were already giving. We believe in tithing, which 10%. We believe in giving beyond the tithe when possible, which is what we have been doing. It's part of our spiritual practice of trust and abundance. And we already thought we were giving as much as we could. But when presented with the opportunity of this match and considering the incredible work our church is hoping to do, we decided to make an increase. The increase can be anything. The gift can be anything. And it's not an ironclad. Nobody's going to police what you give, least of all us. Paul and I don't know who gives what. We just wanted to make one last appeal on behalf of the congregation for the year ahead, our dreams, our hopes, and our opportunities to make a difference. We didn't say in the letter either how to do something. If you would like to let somebody know that you want to make a pledge or make an increase in your pledge, there are going to be plates at the doors. There are pledge cards at the end of each pew that you can fill out. If you've already made a pledge and you want to make a change, you can just note that. And you can also send an email to the office, and Kat will get that to the right people.
Go from this place to love the Lord your God with all your might.